Passenger name record is also a new definition relating to the advanced passenger processing, more specifically mandatory submission of passenger name record information. statute and no provisions in the Act dealing with Australia's industry definition. What the Portfolio Committee has done in this regard, they've also amended certain definitions such as visa, and they inserted port of entry visa following the change of all temporary residence permits to new visas. So your visa is currently is in the Act will now be called a port of entry visa. Clause 3 relates to the amendment to Section 4 of the Act. And in this instance, Section 4 of 2 of the Act lists the departments that must constitute the Immigration Advisory Board. Obviously, as you know, this needed to be amended to remove specification of departments. Once you change the department's name, you have to come back to the legislation to amend it, so you can rather deal with the regulations and things like that. Those will also be departments and organs of state that the minister considers relevant. Turning to Clause 4, amending Section 7 of the Act, which is the regulation-making section in the Immigration Act. The amendment is there to, in order to take consequential amendments regarding the change of the categorization of certain permits to visas, as well as to make provision for the charging of fees for advanced passenger processing and passenger name record information transmission in terms of the APT system where you then charge fees in this regard. It also looks at Section 7.1K, which prescribes fees for the making of regulations regarding terms and conditions pertaining to immigration practitioners. Obviously, this has to be a consequential amendment if the immigration practitioners are being removed from the or being repealed. The section relating to that, this is also going to be repealed. Clause 5 of the bill, remaining Section 9.3A of the Act. And it provides that no person may be admitted into the public if not in possession of a passport, except for such person is a child under the age of 16 years accompanied by his or her parent who holds a passport in which his or her name was entered. Now the amendment that's been done in Clause 5, amend Section 93 of that, in order to also make it a requirement that a child must also possess his or her own passport. Turning to Clause 6, which is the insertion of Section 9A in the Act, in the definition, the port of entry empowers the minister to designate a place of entry or exit, which does not prescribe the requirements for that designation. Now, in terms of Section 9A, inserting that into the Act empowers the minister to designate, in the prescribed manner, which will be then indicated in the regulation, any place which complies with prescribed requirements, which is also then obviously taken care of in the regulation, as a place of entry or exit. The minister has also now been empowered specifically to withdraw any such delegation or designation issue. Turning to Clause 7, which amends Section 10.2 and 6, and 6 of the Act. And 6 of the Act is where you can change your status of in the Republic. Looking at Section 10.2 of the Act, it provides the foreign maker to apply for one of the temporary residence permits from Sections 11 to 23 of the Act. Subsection 6 allows a foreigner to change his or her status while in the Republic. What we're doing in the amendment is to Section 10.2 is being amended in order to revise the provisions relating to visas and permits for temporary sojourn in the Republic, which I've already elaborated on. And 10.6 is amended in order to provide that a person may not change the conditions of status attached to his or her permit or visa whilst in the Republic, except in exceptional circumstances prescribed by the Minister. And that application will then be approved by the Minister as well. However, what happened in the Portfolio Committee is that we targeted specific, we said that we need to look at specific areas that are being abused. And in this regard, the Portfolio Committee further amended the provision to specify that an application for change of status attached to a visitor's or medical treatment visa shall not be made whilst in the Republic, but only in exceptional circumstances, which will also be described. The next slide, 26, is basically just we're changing permits to visas, as I've indicated, Honourable Chair and members, visitors permit, study permit, treaty permit, these will all now be called to be a treaty visa, visitors visa, study visa, so that's just changing the word permit to visa. It was also further amended by the Portfolio Committee, as I've indicated earlier, that all temporary residents should be called visas. Clause 8, amend Section 10, capital A2 of the Act. In order to effect certain consequential amendments following the change of certain permits from the definition of permits to visas. I'm not calling it permits anymore, except the permanent residence permit. Now, to do committee decision, the current visa will now be called a visa in the Act. Visa will now call the portal entry visa, and consequential amendments have been included to the Act in this regard. Turning to clause 9, honourable members, if you're section 13 of the Act, it is amended in order to make provision for the issuing of a study visa for the duration of the study. Because sometimes what we found is the person will come and study, but the duration of the study exceeds the permit, the period in which the permit has been granted, meaning that they have to be applied again. So we just wanted to make it easier for people to come and study. Looking at clause 11, currently section 15 of the Act does not prescribe the kind of business that the foreigner intends to establish or invest in. Clause 11 then amends section 15 of the Act in order to make provision for the issuing of a business to a foreigner intends to establish or invest in a business that is prescribed to be in the national interest. That is how it was before the Portfolio Committee. The Portfolio Committee then went ahead and amended this provision further to indicate that no business visa may be issued or renewed in respect of business undertaking which is listed as undesirable by the Minister, and that would be after consultation with the Minister of Trade and Industry. The holder of that business visa must also employ a prescribed number of citizens. That is also one of the things that's indicated, because you find that in certain of these businesses you've got 90 to 100% people that are foreigners that are employed. And what I'm saying, you want to encourage schools transfer in South Africa as well, and you should have the South African. Looking at clause 12, which means section 19 relating to work permits. Section 19 provides for the issuing of a quota work permit. Now, the amendment here is to repeal section 19(1) of the Act, which relates to your quota work permit. The reason is for the quota, the public school quota work permits, they are similar in certain respects to those issued with an exception skills work permit. What is now the proposal is that we need to create one permit in this regard, which we call now the critical skills permit, critical skills work permit. And obviously in the Portfolio Committee, in the deliberations before the Portfolio Committee, certain consequential amendments have also been affected in view of the fact that the permit has been changed to visa. The clause further revises the provisions of Section 19(2) of the Act, and it deletes. The clause deletes Section 19(3) of the Act, and the requirement for the issuing of a general work permit will now be prescribed in the regulations. Portfolio Committee, as I indicated earlier, well, also took a consequential amendment there following the amendment or the change of the word permit to visa. The clause also substitutes Section 19(5) of the Act in order to move the requirements for the issuing of an intra-company transfer work permit to the regulations. Intra-company transfer work permit will be issued for 4 years once the Immigration Act of 2007 is brought into operation. Portfolio Committee also affected certain consequential amendments based again on the reason I gave earlier, the words permit being changed or substituted for the word visa. Turning to clause 13, the amendment of section 21 of the Act. Section 21(1) of the Act does not determine the sectors that qualify to be issued with a corporate permit. And what the amendment seeks to do is to substitute section 21(1) of the Act in order to make provision for the issuing of a corporate permit to a corporate applicant who conducts business in the sectors that are published in the government gazette from time to time. In the deliberation in Portfolio Committee meetings, this was also amended further to provide that no corporate visa may be issued or renewed in respect of business undertakings which is listed as undesirable by the Minister after consultation with the Minister of Trade and Industry. And then obviously consequential amendments will also follow once again changes of the permit visas. Turning to section 21(5) of the Act, it provides that the holder of the corporate may also employ persons in terms of section 19. Now, section 19, as members will recall, deals with the work permit. So in other words, you can issue a person with a work permit. And what we've done in section 21(5) is it's being repealed currently. The provision creates interpretation problems, and there's already a judgment on this specific regard that reports that the said permit is another kind of permit, which is never envisaged. So the new provision is made that a person employed in terms of a corporate permit shall only work for the holder of that corporate permit. Clause 14, it deletes section, initially a deleted section 22B of the Act that dealt with an exchange permit for persons under the age of 25 years who have received an offer to conduct work for no longer than 1 year. The permit is mostly used to employ foreigners to do work that does not correlate with the principles of an exchange program. That's what we found. In the deliberation before the Portfolio Committee, the Portfolio Committee is advised to also further amend this provision to provide that no exchange visa may be granted if the offer to conduct work pertains to an undesirable work as published by the Minister in the Gazette after consultation with the Minister of Trade and Industry. So we're just aligning everything as to the previous indications that I've also made. Clause 15 relates to the amendment of the asylum transfer permit, which is dealt with in Section 23 of the Act. In terms of Section 23.1 of the Act, it provides for the issuing of an asylum transfer permit, which will be valid for a period of 14 days. And what this permit allows an asylum seeker to do is to travel to the nearest refugee reception office in order to apply for asylum. And that person's got a period of 14 days within which to do that. What we're doing with the amendment is to reduce the validity period of this permit from 14 days to 5 days to report to the nearest refugee reception office. And it also further provides for a procedure for establishing whether or not such person qualifies to apply for asylum. What the Portfolio Committee in the deliberation in this regard is also that they amended this provision further to provide that an asylum seeker visa shall be issued subject to a prescribed procedure. And this is in order to ensure that persons who are fugitive from justice, etc., are not admitted into the Republic. Turning to clause 16, which fulfills section 24 of the Act. Section 24 of the Act provides for the issuing of cross-border and transit permit to specified foreigners. The section is being repealed because there are certain security risks that emanate from the requirement that holders of cross-border permits may not report to an immigration officer. So they cross the border without reporting to immigration officials, and there are certain security risks involved in this regard, so it has been repealed. Looking at clause 17, amending section 26 of the Act, section 26 does not prescribe the requirements for the issuing of a permanent residence permit. Section 26 has been amended in order to make provision, obviously, for prescribing requirements for the issuing of a permanent residence permit. And obviously that will be taken care of in the regulations. If we turn to clause 18, amend section 27 of the Act, 27 of the Act does not provide also for prescribing requirements for the issuing of a permanent residence permit. It's the same issue here that's being dealt with, because you've got section 25, 26 and 27 which relates to permanent residence. Section 26 will say direct residence, and section 27 relates to residence on other grounds. So it all falls under the category of permanent residence, and we're just bringing in requirements in the regulations for the issuance of permanent residence permits. If we look at section 27C of the Act, section 27C does not prescribe that a business which is a foreigner intends to establish or has established in the project must be prescribed to be in the national interest. The clause further substitutes section 27C of the Act in order to provide that a business that a person intends to establish or has established in the project must be a business prescribed to be in the national interest. If we turn to clause 19, it amends section 29 of the Act, and this relates to your prohibited persons. Section 29.1 does not include the crimes of human smuggling and trafficking, as I've indicated earlier, as part of the list of crimes that may result in the listing of a person as a prohibited person. So what we're doing in the amendment is to substitute section 29.1b of the Act in order to insert the crimes of human smuggling and trafficking of persons to that list. Looking at clause 20, clause 20 amends section 50 of the Act, and section 50 of the Act relates to your undesirable persons, whether it's 29 or 30 years of this. So clause 20 provides, as a consequential amendment to section 51 of the Act, for the, and you'll see I'll come to section 51, which is relates to your administrative fines. For the declaration of persons who overstay in the Republic for a prescribed number of times as undesirable. Currently, such persons are only fined a prescribed amount, and that's not longer deterrent enough. So what you're doing is, if you overstay two or three times, whatever terms you describe in the regulations, you will be then listed as an undesirable person. And if you're listed as an undesirable person, that does not allow you to qualify for the visa, entry into the public sector, travel sector, and stuff like that, unless that restriction has been lifted. Clause 21 of the bill seeks to amend Section 35 of the Act. Now, Section 35 of the Act is amended in order to insert new provision for the mandatory provision of advanced passenger processing, provision of passenger and record information by owners of or persons that are in charge of conveyances. So the ATP that I've been referring to earlier. Clauses 22 and 23, if I can go to clause 22, amend Section 43 of the Act in order also to effect consequential amendments regarding the change of certain permits to visas. The wording there, and it was 23 repeal section 46 of the Act that deals with your immigration conditions. Turning to clause 24, which is the latest amendment of section 49, which is your penalty provisions and offences. Currently, the penalties for offences listed in the Act are no longer deterrent enough, as it's convenient. We increased the penalties, so section 49 of the Act has been amended in order to increase penalties and provide for imprisonment without an optional fine in cases, for example, where a public servant is involved in crimes like corruption, etc. So the Portfolio Committee then also indicated that the fines that we introduced, I think, were too high, they lowered them a bit, that they are still like this thing. And we believe that they will be deterrent. Clause 25 of the bill, amends section 15 of the Act, which deals with your administrative fine. Section 51 of the Act is amended by providing that persons who overstay must endure the terms of section 30. And this is what I referred to earlier, we were talking about dealing with the undesirable person. So if you overstay a certain number of times, they will be then listed as an undesirable person in the immigration act, not be fined for certain amount being on that. There's also an addition of new subsection 4 to provide for an administrative fine for non-compliance with the provisions relating to advanced passenger processing. And this amount obviously could also be prescribed in the regulations then, because this is something new that we can do. Honourable Members, Chairperson, 6 minutes, this is the presentation from the department. Thank you very much.
Thank you. case, when we agreed with the Department of Community Safety in Housing and Housing that they are going to be closed until they check the legality of their status as refugees, whether they came for business or what, and how did they buy, how did they get this RDP housing. Then they went to the office in Pretoria of the refugees, whatever it is, and then they were advised then about their rights, and they came back, they reopened their shops, boasting that their rights supersede those of children. So I'm just, the question of how are we going to be enforcing these things in terms of the fines and whatever. The police might not be interested, but not be the crime. So how do we aim to enforce this? Thank you.
Again, or not you screen, whether or not you are given some, or you give some motivation for your being there, we will still get what we call a Section 22 permit. A Section 22 permit is, seems to have taken on a life of its own, in the sense that it is something that the department doesn't grant. It is something that SCRA grants, the Standing Committee on Refugee Affairs. And this permit is issued to literally anybody who presents themselves to the refugee center. So you don't even have to prove that you are a refugee. That's the category that I was talking about. You literally come in there, you fill an application form, and you get a permit, which allows you to do three things. It allows you to study in the Republic. It allows you to work in the Republic, and interestingly, it allows you to run the business. So, I believe that this is how these so-called father stores and other businesses then get established in terms of SOSA. Of course, when it comes to the migration system where we issue the work permits, there you have the checks and balances attached to work permits. Here it's really, you just have to come there waiting for you to fill in the form, giving a form, and get it. And that permit is valid for 6 months. And remember last week I said to you that we are inundated with people coming to the refugee center. So what happens is that if we, for example, get 800 applications in a week, then we still have to process those applications. But every single day, there are hundreds and hundreds of people coming where the municipality is able to enforce compliance with the bylaws. But you'll find it in all of the townships, particularly the African colored and Indian townships. You'll find those stores through houses. You'll find some very dangerous practices as well. Gas stoves being used when people reside. It's really quite dangerous. So I think that's my long and short answer, hopefully, not giving too much of satisfaction, unfortunately, to the honorable member, but I think those are things that we might feel in mind as well. Thank you.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, honorable members. On the issue of passports for South African children, or for South African children, already I think the Deputy Minister has dealt with that. We are issuing currently with the number that appears on the birth certificate, because that is the number that you mentioned, your identity number, when issued with the identity document that the age is critical. What we are saying here in the Act is that foreigners visiting South Africa, their children, when entering South Africa, should also have passports, personal passports, and not appear on their passports. We are requesting them that the assembly states also issue child passports to the children. It is really just a kind of issue of human trafficking and child trafficking. The issue of the implementation strategy and advocacy, indeed, this is a critical and important issue. And in our implementation strategy, we will be looking at issues of the conclusion of our regulation, the ministerial approval of our regulation, and then the training of our officials in the current in the new regulation, as well as a communication strategy in terms of how we are going to advocate and popularize the new changes to the amendments to the Immigration Act, and we will also be using our existing stakeholder forums that we have, that the department has within the communities, to advocate these new changes, to see that people start understanding issues of nationalization, how it means, how it flows from being a temporary resident in South Africa, applying for permanent residence, and thereafter being naturalized and becoming a South African citizen for naturalization and other matters. Honorable Chair, on the issue of the change of status, what we are, maybe I should sketch the mischief that is happening in this area so that I can illustrate why the amendment. People come into the country, great, a substantial number of them come into the country on visitor's visa because it's easier to get a visitor's visa. The requirement isn't as much. So you just need to show that you have a return ticket, that you have some money to sustain yourself while you are. A visitor's visa is actually a tourist visa, that you are able to sustain yourself whilst you are in the country, and then you leave again within 30 days or 60 days or 90 days. So most people apply for the visa to get entry to the country. Once they are in the country, they now start looking for jobs, they now start marrying South African citizens, either fraudulently or in collusion with South Africans themselves. They now start looking for all opportunities. And once they are found there, before the end of the 90 days visit, they now apply for a work permit, or they apply for an accompanying spouse permit, or they apply for a relative's permit, and that is the change of condition that we get. And we find it strange that someone that comes to South Africa to visit as a tourist initially comes with all his goods and wants to set up permanently in South Africa. So what we are saying here in the Act is that for the visitor's visa and the medical visa, such persons that want to change the status of their visa within the country will have to go back to their country of origin and apply from there for any other permit that they would require to enter South Africa. Chairperson, I think I will ask Dion to deal with the issue of how soon this law will come up.
honourable members. With regard to the amendments, obviously they're going to be debated in this House, and if there are any amendments, we'll go back to the portfolio committee as well. Following that, there have to be regulations that need to be dropped in line with the amendments. So this Act will only come into operation after, obviously, the President has sent to sign the bill into an Act Parliament, and the regulations are ready also for public test. But depending on how long I think we're running this process parallel to also start working on the regulations now as we be busy with this. And then once the Act is finalised, we also about 90% completed with the regulations. Just to indicate that in terms of the Act, it is required that the regulations, the Minister may make regulations after consultation with the Immigration Advisory. In other words, the Immigration Advisory Board also has to give their inputs, and following that, the regulations will be final. Thanks. Honourable Chairperson, there's certain things that I picked up in the slide that I think was, and I'm specifically referring to slides 40 and 41 that I would just want to correct here. Some were done in the wee hours of the morning, and I think it was a correct version that I gave. It deals with section 27 relating to permanent residence, and we indicated that we're saying that section 27C of the Act does not prescribe that a person which the Parliament intends to establish where it is established, and that it must be prescribed in the national interest. This is not the case. This is not what we're talking about here. So this was quoted incorrectly. Apologies for that. What we're trying to say here is that it's we want to, in the specific section 27C, add the words contemplated in section 15, just to make it explicit that we are referring to a business permit in this regard. So the only words that we are referring to there, if we go to the amendment, the next point, which would actually read there, this clause further substitutes section 27C of the Act by adding the words contemplated in section 15 in order to make it clear that we are talking about a business permit. So I just wanted to provide clarity in this regard. Apologies for that, Honourable Minister.
Thank you.
What we're saying there with the amendment, Honourable Members, it will say this clause further substitutes section 27C of the Act, and then we'll just have the word by adding. The words, then we can put in inverted commas, contemplated in section 15. Close the inverted commas. In order to make it clear that we are talking or referring to a business. Apologies for that. A business term, or will it be business visa? Apologies. I'll just say currently, just say section 27C of the Act does not refer back to section 15. Sorry, the preview where we say how it reads currently, I just think I want to catch it up there as well so that the two slides follow. It does not refer back to section 15, which relates to your business permits. No, not visa. Remember, this is the current. Currently, it's referring to a permit. So if you go to the next slide, then it will say the amendment that there was forced by substituting 27C by adding the word contemplated, which is just more than that. Thanks.
Any other
timing and
further questions? Let me just order. Remember? Are you okay? Okay.
there's a permit, you're going to say visa, except when their date is a permanent residence permit. Now, I said to Dion and then, you know, there are, this is a very complicated legislation because you have the Principal Act, then you have the 2007 legislation which has not been put into effect, then you have this one. So literally, when you try and understand what is going on, you need three pieces of legislation before you, because this is amending that first one. And then there's a second one, which we haven't implemented because those regulations were not, or, you know, there were problems with referencing and things like that, which we apparently have to clean up here as well. One of our concerns is that we are not sure that, in other words, you're going to have to read right after clause 26 to really understand that we're changing these things in the first few clauses, because all of those things seem, the way in which it's drafted now, you're going to keep permit, and then in this clause we're saying wherever you say permit, you must now read visa, which is going to be difficult for somebody who has not understood this legislation to really understand. And my initial advice to them was to change everywhere, not be lazy about it, to go to every place where we're going to change it to visa, to change it in the legislation. They took that to the National Assembly, and then I thought that the state law advisor said stylistically this is a better start. Now, I said to Dion, if indeed the publishers of the Act are going to incorporate, they're going to take Section 26 and they're going to put it in the place where it should be put in everywhere, then I don't have a problem with it, because then it's going to read easier. Every time there is a visa, it will refer to visa, it won't refer to permanent. But if they're going to keep it like this, because this is now a clause in the bill, Section 26 is actually a clause. So I can't see how they're going to take it out and change everything and then remove Section 26. I'm not sure that that's going to happen automatically. So I asked them to check it. If indeed I am correct and they are not going to remove Section 26 and put it in the bill where it's supposed to be, then I want to suggest that they bring that to you, which is just going to be wherever there's permits we're going to put in visa except with it, just so that when particularly judges see the stuff, you know, that it's easy for them to understand. Because we've had so many times where there's just been a misunderstanding of the law. And we really, you know, we're trying to fix up that misunderstanding, but we may be creating a bigger problem. So that's really all I wanted to just say to you as a partnership.
Let me go back to the Office of Refugees. I'm not sure what is the relationship, but I think there also has to be some engagement with them. Because, for instance, with this case, I don't know, that there may be other cases where, for instance, the provincial, two provincial embassies were trying to solve the problem. And they had time frames of solving that problem. And these people go to that office and they're told that they have rights within the country and all those things. Even if they have rights that cannot supersede the rights of South Africa or the laws, they cannot undermine the legislation that are there. And yeah. So the arrogance and whatever that they displayed there's much to be desired. I don't know whether what is the relationship between the department and them. Thank you.
We must engage the honourable member there may be individual concerns here we need to get into the table and maybe bring up on the project around the same concerns. So we will certainly do that.
Okay.
don't know, Chairperson, if for the benefit of the people who are here, I have to respond to the issue that we are considering now or as later. So, finally,
if you want to make a comment right now, you can make it.
Can I run with that?
Do what?
I can make it.
Yes, sir. In the next meeting.
In the nutshell, Chairperson, what will we say to Mr. McCray and the department? We advise the department on the dangers of doing the amendments the way the minister is asking to be in this meeting. For instance, one of the dangers that we have said is that, you know, doing it that way, doing it the way that it is now in the amendment bill is the standard way of legislative practice of how we draft amendments where you remove or you substitute a certain way to the entire bill in other words. So that's how you do it. It is more easier for the students for the publishers, such as for original act, which is the 2012 act, change all those words where those words are reflected, substitute them with the data for instance. Because if we do it the way that the department wanted to do it, for instance, there might be, because we are human, there might be mistake where we miss, for instance, the word permit, we miss it, and we don't affect the change that is supposed to. And then that remains in the act, and then that would create further confusion because that one that we did will remain in the act, and then the interpretation process or the interpretation of it will be there. So we said it's a standard way to do it this way, and it's more easy for the publishers of the legislation, such as Judah, to follow when we do that this way. Because doing the way it was, it will open up the other provisions of the bill for the that we already settled at the committee meeting for further debate. And that's precisely what happened if Mr. McKay can confirm that that's what happened at the committee meeting. It opened the whole bill again for further discussion because now the issues that are already were settled in 2001, members for the commission or other members were asking questions on issues that it is not the intention of this bill to touch on. So it was opening the further debate, and you say, and Mr. McKay confirmed that exactly we were advised, and exactly what we were advised from by the Office of the Chief Labour Officer is what is happening to the meeting. And then the committee, because of the reverted to the original way, the meeting is here. Thank you, Chairperson. I hope I explained the meeting to the members.
I think I was correct when you say, if there are any administrative things that needs to be done to be reflected in your presentation, the fact that I'm allowing the department to go back and we will call the department back to the committee will give space to do other things that were not done in the presentation that we presented to our secretary.
Nothing to do with debate, and it's got nothing to do with new issues. We are substituting permits for the word visa. That's all. The question is, how do we do it? And you know, members must not be intimidated by these things, because this is not about law. It's about style.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is about. Now, my question is this. If indeed what the state law advisors are saying is going to happen, i.e., that when the Judas Stat people or the LexisNexis people, the people who actually publish the final legislation, if they take this clause and they do the work that these people are supposed to be doing in any case here, by substituting clause by clause, visa and permit, then I don't have a problem. Because because somebody is going to have to do that exercise, whether it's us or the publisher, doesn't matter. But if they are not going to do that, and I must tell you, chairperson, I have been a chairperson for over 10 years in this parliament, and I have never done it like this. Never. Say it's standard, it's incorrect. It's a lazy way of drafting, because what it does is it saves the drafter from having to go clause by clause from all these three bills and making the necessary changes. That's what it does. Now, I'm happy if, in fact, they're saying Judith Spat and other people are going to be doing it. Like, that's why I said, pending their investigation as to whether that is going to happen, I'm happy to comply with this. But our main aim in doing this was to eradicate confusion that we are getting from the bench. Now, if we are going to have this clause right in the end of the legislation, and people are going to start reading from clause one and they don't understand this last clause, then you are exacerbating that confusion. That's all I'm saying. So if there is a way to avert it, whether it's their way or our way, it doesn't really matter to me, as long as the same outcome is derived. So that when people start reading from clause one, they will see visa as opposed to permanent thing, where it's supposed to be. That's all we're saying. So we said, please let them go and investigate whether in fact LexisNexis and Judith Spat and so on will be doing that. If they come back to you as a committee and they say to you, yes, chairperson, they will be doing it, we've confirmed it, what, then I've got no problem. But they have already done this exercise, by the way. They've been through it clause by clause. And they have changed it where it needs to be changed. It was just that this overcautious thing saying, look, let's have this catch-all clause that says, let's cover it in case we've missed something. But that's why they are here. That's why they get paid. They're meant to do the job properly. And they're meant to do the clauses, and they're meant to not overlook something. And I think there has to be a degree of trust also that we will be actually doing that exercise, going clause by clause and making that contribution.
The matter now. Yeah, until the next meeting.
I think what the legal advisors must come forward in the amendment is a definite definition of visa and a definite definition of firm, so that there cannot be any misunderstanding.
I'm not opening any discussion. The meeting is closed now, as we've already given to a summary of all the discussions. Please, save it for the next meeting.
Can I just
ask what
I
mean? Yeah, this is what I'm talking about. Yeah. Because I also said in my summary, our panel, we're still having a meeting, members, remember?
so we all have the copies of this here minutes as we have addressed in our last meeting that we will be processing our minutes on issue. Every meeting, I think that's a brilliant idea to do that, to avoid piling up minutes up until the next day. The first set of minutes is the Tuesday, 25th January, and it's the same. So we go through and check for any corrections that we want to make on the first page. Okay. 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 If there's nothing on the first page, let's go to the second page.
Hi.
Yes, Member Mundy.
I think that
how is it doing? Or the social worker?
Thank you.
they forwarded to the committee on the tribunal outlining the location of the 27th project. Can we have follow up on that?
Yeah, in fact, what we will do is to pick up on all the commitments and commitments that are made by